comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22-12-642.
Everybody calls us.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holiday special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Truly do appreciate your time and joining us. I get excited every time, you know, once a week we get to do this and talk to somebody of interest, somebody who's, I'm just fascinated by people who do extraordinary things, people who achieve a level of success that maybe even they weren't anticipating. And hearing their stories, I think, is inspirational. It's inspirational to me, and I hope it's inspirational to you as well. But I really do enjoy it, and it's amazing who we've had along the way. But today we've got somebody you may or may not know about. Her name is Celeste Molloy, and she is the congresswoman from Utah. And I've gotten to know her, my being from Utah, my being a former member of Congress from Utah. But look, she worked on the staff of Congressman Chris Stewart and then rose up. And we want to hear her story because she's become very influential in the United States Congress. And she plays an important role. And you know what? I'm glad that she serves in Congress for a variety of reasons, but I think she's going to be an inspiration to a whole lot of people because she's worked hard, worked smart, overcome some adversity, and came from a place that isn't traditionally your glide path to becoming a member of the United States Congress. So we're going to talk to Celeste Molloy in a bit, but let's kick things off with the news and what's happening, because in this holiday season, there's a lot to be grateful for, but there's also a lot that needs to be accountable for. And there are a couple scandals out there. You may have heard about these. Maybe you haven't heard about these. But I want to highlight a few of those. One is this arrest that's happening. Stunning revelation here. This is a case that's been going on for years and years and years, like 4+ years. And it was the bombing suspect has now been apprehended. This happened with bombs being placed that were viable. That's what I think is important here. This wasn't just like a hoax. These are viable bombs that were placed near the RNC, Republican National Committee, RNCC, NRCC, I should say, and the DNC. They're close in proximity. So if you were to be on the south side of the United States Capitol, and then you were to walk not even a block, just south of the Library of Congress, that's where you'd find the NRCC. But where you've seen video and where you've seen information is the DCCC, the DNC, the Democratic National Congressional Committee. And from there, you would walk about one block south, one block back to the west, and you would find their offices. Now, what you'll see is this video, and it's black and white, it's gray, it happened January 5th of 2021, and the suspect's been out there for a long time, but now to apprehend them, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty details that they're playing out, but I'm just telling you, that is law enforcement doing good work over a long period of time. And I'm sure the FBI director, Kash Patel, as well as Pam Bondi, the attorney general, you can see their confidence. And they're prioritizing this case because there are many that think, wait a sec, why did this go on and on and on without much progress? And then all of a sudden it did break. So that's an issue. Second thing I want to talk about, which is really, I feel really passionate about this one, is what was going on with the auto pen. Now, you hear the President of the United States talk a lot about the auto pen. But here's what I would like people to understand. First of all, there's something I do work with the Heritage Foundation. It's called the Oversight Project. I do work with them, and they kind of continue on the mantra of, hey, let's go do investigations. It's your government. That's kind of their slogan. It's your government. And you deserve to have openness, transparency, clarity of what's going on. I mean, that's why you have to pry so much of this stuff out of the United States Congress, out of the executive branch. You got more than 2 million people, right? More than 2 million that are working in the federal bureaucracy. So I don't care who's the president, Democrat, Republican, Trump, Biden, it's still you're working against a branch of government with a bureaucracy, a bureaucratic state that just doesn't want its secrets out there. And I lived this firsthand as the chairman of the Oversight Committee. We would constantly be peppering them with questions, and yet the responsiveness was always met with a stiff arm. It was always being pushed off. And so to get the information is very difficult. Well, one of the questions we had going into the last year of the Biden administration, as we kind of sat around the table, is like, is it possible that Joe Biden is becoming more vigorous in his last 6 months? Or was he really, like, what was going on there? And the question I had was about an auto pen. So a lot of senators, if not most senators, have an auto pen. The president has an auto pen. But usually these are for routine constituent letters. Oftentimes people want a picture with an autograph on it. And, you know, they're pushing out literally thousands and thousands of pieces of mail that no one human could possibly do. And that's really the role and responsibility of the auto pen. But it just seemed like, wait a second. Let's start comparing signatures. And that led to a 6+ month investigation of looking at all of the documents, public documents that the president has signed. And some of them are pardons, commutations, some of them are executive orders, and some of them were public laws. And so what we found is that most of the public laws were actually signed by the president, but the other categories, we found that the majority were not. And that's the allegation, is that the auto pen was used close to 88% of the time. And like more than 80% of the time, these happened when President Biden was actually in the White House. So undoubtedly others have used an auto pen, but oftentimes it's followed up by what we call a wet signature. So a wet signature is when the president actually takes a real pen, a wet pen, and puts pen to paper and signs the documents that are necessary. And so one thing that I want you all to notice, because I've talked about the auto pen previously, nobody has pushed back on the idea that the Republicans or our oversight project or what we're saying about the auto pen is wrong. You've never heard a Democrat say, no, that's not accurate. Because it's true. It's very true. And they know it's true. And so James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, of which I used to chair, has come out with his report. It happened a number of weeks ago, and it was very thorough. They did dozens and dozens of interviews, people under oath. You can see video clips of that. They put together this stunning report, and part of that highlights this idea that, you know, they believe, the Congress believes, James Comer and the Oversight Committee believe, that those signatures are invalid. And so some would argue, oh, a pardon doesn't have to be in writing. It can be verbal. But the problem, though, with that argument that breaks down is you can't find anybody but anybody who can say, yes, that's exactly what the president talked about. So you have these cases where if you do look at publicly what President Biden said, is he said that he was issuing these pardons to nonviolent criminals. These were people that were, and he's done thousands of them, for nonviolent crimes. The problem is, in the mix of that, you have people that were incarcerated for murder. That's a pretty violent crime. And the one is really egregious, where the accusation and the conviction was for murdering two people. That person has subsequently been let out of jail. I happen to believe that the Trump administration should detain, incarcerate, go back and arrest that person and put him back into jail. If they believe that the auto pen is invalid, as the president and others have said, then you know what? You need to be you need to be put back in jail. Because right now this person's out on the streets. And it was all because Joe Biden let him out on the streets. And so, again, I think one of the themes that you're looking at here over the course of the Trump administration thus far is this effort to clean up the mess that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris left us. Because you had rampant crime, you have open borders, you have drugs just flowing into our system, and then you have this cashless bail, people that are accused of some very serious crimes, and immediately released out of jail. You have recidivism that is rampant, and that's playing out right now. I mean, we've had, accusations of people committing horrific crimes who've been not just dozens and dozens and dozens of times, but even more than that, being arrested, convicted, put back out on the street, only to commit another crime. And so, you know, the point of incarceration is to pay a penalty, but we have to also realize that 95% of the people, roughly, that go to jail, they're coming back out. And so you want to reduce the rate of recidivism, but that should be the metric by which we're gauging our public policies. The problem is, if you aren't able to fix the problem, and the person's doing this multiple times, at some point society has to say, no, we got to lock our, they're going to have to lock these people up. You hear Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, he said, oh, we're not just going to incarcerate our way to civility. Yeah, we will, with a certain portion of the population. We will. And if you're incarcerating the right people, and if you're taking the illegal immigration population, which I don't know, I wish we could quantify. The problem is you got a lot of states that won't cooperate. I think the question should be to everybody, each state, how many people in the penal system are here illegally? Now, some have to pay the price for their crimes. You just don't want them released and out walking the streets of wherever they came from. But at the same time, once they do serve that, then they need to get out of the country. And this is where Democrats totally differ. They just want them back out on the streets of California or wherever they are, you know, to likely commit more crimes. That's the problem. This is you're incarcerated for a violent crime. You're doing something hideous like a rape or a DUI or something like that. Yeah, you're probably going to do it again. So that, again, I'm coming back from the auto pen. Joe Biden promised us that only the people that had committed nonviolent crimes. Well, yeah, five of those people were on death row. Pam Bondi's moved those people off of death row, but to the Supermax prison, which I believe isn't Supermax, I think, in Colorado. I'm pretty sure it is in Colorado. Moving into the Supermax, but that doesn't solve the problem. I think they should be back actually on death row. That's my personal opinion. But the person that was actually released, who had committed murders before, who's on the streets, they need to go get that person. He needs to be back in jail. That's part of, I think, law and order that we expect and hope. And I think that's the spirit in which Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is doing the right thing, saying the right thing, wanting the right thing to happen. And that is, no, these auto pens, they're not valid. And I think that's right. And yeah, you can go ahead and test that in the courts, but maybe the poster child for that should be this person who committed murder, evidently twice, and was let back on the street. Let that person be the poster child. Let that person percolate out there and have the Democrats defend that, oh yeah, an auto pen was fine. But it also begs the question, who got that signed? Where did that come from? Who's the person that the president spoke with that authorized that? Because somebody had to put that piece of paper in the machine and add his name to the list. And that they have not yet figured out.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
No other player in history of baseball affected how the game was played more than Babe Ruth. He changed the game from an inside game of scratching for one or two runs to a game of power. His career included 714 home runs. He retired from the game and was elected to the first class in the new Baseball Hall of Fame. With all that, the Babe still wished for more.
I've had three ambitions in my life. One was this, 700 home runs. The other was to play 20 years. And the next one was to be in 10 World Series. I succeeded in one last year, making my 10th World Series. And next year gives me the opportunity to play in 20 years. And if I had 46 home runs, I'll have my 700 home runs, and I'll sure be satisfied with everything.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A New Hampshire cold case murder solved half a century after the crime. The person responsible, the prime suspect all along, who walked free because of a botched FBI report. 22-year-old Judith Lord was found dead inside her Concord apartment May 20th, 1975, months after moving in with her husband and baby. A building manager found her dead in a bed upstairs, her infant son alive in his crib in the next room. An autopsy showed Lord died of homicidal strangulation. She had also been sexually assaulted after clearing her husband, who had recently moved out after assaulting her. Investigators eyed Lord's neighbor, Ernest Theodore Gable, who was 24 at the time. But a flawed FBI hair analysis incorrectly excluded Gable as a suspect, even though his fingerprints were found at the scene and witnesses said Lord feared him. Gable was never charged and died in 1987. He was stabbed in Los Angeles. The attorney general said if he were still alive, he'd be facing a first-degree murder charge. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is Fox on Justice. Victims' lawyers argue failures, even negligence, in response to a fire that started around midnight on New Year's Eve make the city and state of California financially liable for billions in losses because that fire contributed to another that ignited a week later. The lawsuit alleges cell phone video captured by a hiker on January 2nd shows the ground smoldering. Firefighters thought they'd put that fire out the day before. But attorney Trey Robertson says because the state parks department failed to inspect the location where the fire started with thermal imaging and mop-up crews, those embers reignited and became the Palisades fire on January 7th.
There's no evidence that a single state employee did their job, followed their own policy manual, inspected that area where the fire was, knew that these devastating winds were coming.
California Governor Gavin Newsom rejects that claim, saying responsibility lies solely with a 29-year-old man who's been federally charged with setting the initial fire. William Majness, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Time to bring on Celeste Malloy. Celeste serving in Congress from Utah, and we're just pleased to have her with us. So joining us is Celeste Malloy, Congresswoman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
You're in Washington, D.C., and this is why I'm fascinated to chat with you, because did you ever think you were going to be in Washington, D.C., be a member of Congress and having all these roles and responsibilities? I mean, did you, like, know when you were 6 years old that, hey, yeah, this is going to happen?
No. When I was 6 years old, I had no plans. I thought I was going to grow up to be a pony, I think. Even in high school, I knew I wanted to go to college, but I actually remember telling my friends, I hope I finish college and don't just get married after a couple of years and drop out. And I'm 44 and still not married, so I nailed that. And when I was a brand new attorney in my 30s, I actually got invited to testify in front of a congressional committee once, and I was completely intimidated. I was way out of my depth, and I thought that would be as close as I ever got to Congress. So life has a funny way of turning out differently than what you have planned.
So now you work with these idiots, and it's not quite so intimidating, is it?
No, my former boss, who was a member of Congress, said that the first year you walk around wondering, how did I get here? And the rest of the time you walk around wondering, how did the rest of these people get here? And he was absolutely correct about that.
I got the same advice. Jim Hansen, former congressman from Utah, who's 22 years in Congress, I believe. And he gave me the same advice. He's like, yeah, about 6 months in, you're going to think, yeah, how did I get here? But how did they get here? And, it sounds disrespectful. There are a lot of good people with good hearts. But what I find fascinating about Congress is that it's a true cross-section of America, that the beauty and the brilliance of what our founders did was put in place people that would come from across the country. You know, back then they were going to come in on horseback later on train and piece this country together. And boy, how things have changed now with, you know, the way communications work, podcasts, you know, your ability to travel on airplanes. I mean, things have gotten a little different though since when our founders set it up. But the founders really did believe that they would be out plowing their fields or being bankers or whatever profession they were, and that they would gather here and do the nation's business.
Yeah. I travel a lot because I have a large district and I go to Washington, D.C. every week for work. And so I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I'm re-listening to the Federalist Papers right now. And in one of them, they make the argument that there'll be a lot of the merchant class in Congress, because that's who the mechanics and the farmers and people who are making things and fixing things will trust to represent them. And I look around at my colleagues, and that's actually still kind of true. It's amazing. It's a beautiful mess. It's messy, and everybody loves to take cheap shots at Congress, but we are a real cross-section of the country, and it works as much as it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be slow and inefficient, and we absolutely are.
Yeah, I've long said many times on this podcast, I said if it was a glide path to ease, convenience, and swiftness, then you wouldn't set this up this way. You wouldn't have a House, a Senate, the need to get to certain voting levels, and then a president that can veto. I mean, like, that's not the glide path to ease and speed. And that's why I would argue, I think our founders were actually very conservative. They didn't want these massive gyrations and, you know, without some consensus that affects everybody. They wanted a little bit more conservative view, but I think they also wanted a little bit more they wanted room for small states and large states, and they wanted room for people that, you know, in coalition could say, no, we're going to slow this thing down a little bit. And that to me is very conservative in its approach.
Yeah, they had already seen how efficient tyranny could be. They were very suspicious of efficiency. And now we live in a time where everything's efficient and we're used to things moving very quickly. We communicate quickly. We travel quickly. Sometimes when I'm on that cross-country flight and I land in Salt Lake and, you know, my hamstrings are tight because I've been sitting for too long, I think my pioneer ancestors who dragged all of their belongings across the entire continent would be so ashamed of me that I'm like, oh, that four-hour flight really took it out of me.
Yeah, having to watch that video on that seat back was just awful. Yeah. And that internet speed, boy, that could be faster, you know. I found myself on a couple of years ago on a Delta flight, and I'm like, gosh. And they had a little survey, and I said, man, I wish the internet was faster. And I'm like, I'm in this tube flying 500 plus miles an hour in the air across the continent, and my complaint is that my internet connection isn't fast enough. I mean, I thought, yeah, that's a first world problem.
It is definitely a first world problem, but it is one that people like you and I who've served in Congress deal with on a regular basis, and it does become kind of a problem.
It does, although Senator Bennett, who served before either of us, I actually crossed over with him while he was in the Senate and I was in the House, his advice was, close your eyes, listen to some music. It's the one time that everything's quiet and you can actually just get a little peace and a little rest. Read a book, do something other than Congress, and those couple, 2-3 hours that you get of that are going to be precious. And I think he was really right on that. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be right back with more with my conversation with Celeste Molloy right after this.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Jason in the house.
All right, let's go back to Celeste, though. Let's go back to I was born in, I'm not your year, not the, although you've already told us how old you are, but like where you were.
I was born in Cedar City, Utah. My family lived in Hyco, Nevada, which is a tiny, tiny little town across the border in Nevada. Cedar City was town for us. It always has been. That's where I was born. All my siblings were born. It's where I went to college. And then I stayed in Southern Utah. And I got an agriculture degree from Southern Utah University that I majored in agriculture because I told you that I knew I wanted to go to college. I didn't really know what I was going to do. But I did FFA in high school, Future Farmers of America. And I was a soil judging champion and a range judging champion, actually. But I won a soil judging contest my senior year of high school that resulted in a full ride scholarship to college as long as I majored in agriculture. So I majored in agriculture.
Now, what did it take to judge soil?
Mostly it takes a really bright mind. They take a backhoe and they dig a 5-foot hole in the ground. And then a bunch of kids in blue and yellow jackets go down in that hole with clipboards and papers. And you look at the soil layers and you analyze each of them and say whether it would be suitable for growing crops or for putting in a septic tank. Very practical skills that I assumed I would use a lot more in my life than I actually have.
That's interesting. My guess is it takes a lot of study to figure out because agriculture is very sophisticated these days, and you get it wrong and nobody eats. So it's kind of important in our world.
Yeah. And when I graduated, I actually went to work. Well, while I was still in college, I went to work for the USDA, working with farmers and ranchers, helping them solve resource problems, trying to make sure we have not just food in this country, which is essential, but an agriculture economy in our rural areas that thrives. And that turned out to be an excellent foundation for everything I've done since then. I use those skills a little more often than I analyze soil for suitability for septic tanks now.
Yeah, good point. Okay, so let's go back. Brothers, sisters?
Yeah. I am the fourth of six kids. I have four brothers. Three of them are older than me. So I was born into a very boy family. By the time I came along, there were a lot of trucks and army men in my house. And then I have a sister who's just younger than me, and she is my best friend. She's my landlady. I live with her. We went to law school together kind of on accident. And then we have a baby brother who, you know, it was very much a boy family by the time I got there, but my sister and I had girled it up a little by the time that poor guy got there. So he had to be the toughest one of the bunch.
Fair enough. And were you, I mean, that's a pretty small town you were in. So how big was like your high school?
There were 32 students in my graduating class, and almost all of them have been together since kindergarten. There were very few surprises. We all knew everything about each other. It's kind of hard to be cool in high school when everyone knows about the time you threw up in third grade. And so it was like growing up in a kind of large extended family, really. The area is very small and everything's spread out. So, you know, now everybody has social media and, you know, you can walk to your friends' houses, but I grew up like I'm 100 years older than I am, I guess, where there was no friends I could walk to until I could drive. I was kind of at home with my family all the time. And we had two channels on TV and definitely no internet. And my parents raised us in a single wide trailer, which meant we didn't even have a whole lot of space. So growing up there was we spent a lot of time outside and we spent a lot of time playing with, you know, dirt. I guess that's why I got into soil jumping. I'd never really thought of that before.
You know, it's a good thing that people grow up playing with dirt because there's a lot of people that don't grow up playing with dirt and they don't They don't understand the value of a good dirt clod or a dirt clod fight. And, you know, I lived in a very affluent place, but man, somehow me and my brother gravitated to where dirt clods were and decided that throwing them at each other would be a really good idea. And, I had a lot of fun with that with my army men and, you know, race cars and Tonka trucks and all those kinds of things. But, you know, there's value in that. And in your high school, only my senior year, I was in Winter Park, Colorado, and graduated in Granby, Colorado. And I think there were 49 people in my graduating class, 26 boys, 23 girls, but yours is like half that size. So, you know, that's a pretty small high school at that point.
Yeah, I actually got invited back to my high school a couple of months ago to do an assembly, and it's even smaller now. So they got all of the kids from 7th through 12th grade in folding chairs in the lunchroom to hear me talk about how I got from there to Congress, and none of them seemed all that interested. But my baby brother, who is a welder, an underwater welder even, drove to hear this, and I invited him to come up and answer questions with me, and all of the questions were for him. All of the boys wanted to know how he got certified to weld. They all wanted to know where he got certified underwater. They all wanted to know how he started his own business. Like, these kids where I grew up in a very blue-collar, hands-on world are not at all impressed that I'm a member of Congress, but they think it is so cool that my brother welds for a living.
Well, I do too. I should have probably had him on the podcast as well. So that, maybe we'll do that at some point. All right. So you're graduating from this very small high school. Then you go to SUU. Great, great university. And where did you go from there?
I moved to Beaver, Utah, which is another small town.
Way up the road.
Yeah. I went 50 miles up the freeway for an exotic adventure where I was working with farmers and ranchers, and I was a federal employee and started my federal retirement at 19 years old when I was a sophomore in college. And I thought I had a life plan. I was going to, you know, keep helping people in rural areas until I was eligible for retirement. And I did for about a decade. And I got frustrated with a lot of the federal rules and policies that I was having to implement. You know, these very practical people I was working with, farmers, would say, well, why can the government help me do this thing, but they can't help me do this other thing that would conserve even more water? And, you know, after a few years of being like, I don't know why that's the rule, I just know that's the rule, I decided I better either stop caring or get myself in a position to figure out who makes these rules. And honestly, I tried to stop caring for a while because I had a retirement account. I was kind of on a glide path back then, but I, at about almost the 10-year mark, I decided to go to law school and see if that wouldn't help me figure out where policies are made. I had no idea I would end up where I am making policies. But I guess if the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, I did at least start with the step that led there.
So you went to law school.
I did.
And then, okay, so what happens then?
So I went to law school at BYU. So again, I applied to 40-something law schools. It was in the trough after the Great Recession when nobody wanted to go to law school, and so a lot of law schools would waive the entry fees. So I applied everywhere, and then I went 200 miles up the freeway to Provo, and unbeknownst to me, my sister, who was an athletic trainer, totally different kind of career, in a very different place, had started applying for law school as well, and we ended up in the same class at BYU. So we found a little basement apartment in Provo where we shared bunk beds just like when we were kids.
Wow. All right, that's pretty interesting. So now you get done with law school, so you pass the bar, then what do?
I went to St. George, Utah, so right back down to southern Utah. I became a deputy county attorney. I was a civil attorney, and I was working on public lands policy, which is actually how you and I first met. I was a little brand new deputy county attorney working on public lands issues, and you were a member of Congress. You were not just a member of Congress, you were chairman of the House Oversight Committee, and we met at a House Oversight Committee in St. George on the very first project I worked on as an attorney. It was
I didn't know it was your first one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my bar number was about 3 months old when you and I met.
Very good. Well, somehow you matched up with Congressman Chris Stewart. How'd that happen, and what did you do for him?
Yeah, so that happened through the same process. Practicing public lands law means I was doing a lot of federal issues. And so I met my congressman. He was the first congressman I had ever met. And when I was working on that plan you held the hearing on, somebody said, have you talked to your congressman about it? And I thought, why would I even do that? They don't care. And a mutual friend introduced me to Chris Stewart's staff. I ended up meeting him, and I sat down with him and talked to him about what was wrong with that plan. And he was so warm and caring, and he listened, and he said, you're right. These are problems. We've got to get to work on it. We've got to fix it. And that conversation is what resulted in the hearing you chaired. And I don't want to sound overly dramatic, but that process restored a lot of my faith in our system of government. I would never have been willing to serve in elected office if it hadn't been for that experience. But I saw you and Rob Bishop and Chris Stewart and Orrin Hatch, everybody that was elected to represent the state of Utah on the federal level, actually showed up and helped us fix these problems that the federal government was causing on the local level. And I thought, this is how representative government's supposed to work. Like, this is the way they teach it in government class, but I didn't think it was working this way. And so I've stayed really involved ever since then. And eventually Chris Stewart offered me a job, and I became a staffer for him and got to see Congress up close. And it works so much better than most Americans think it does. If all you do is watch the news and listen to the jokes on late night TV, you would assume that Congress is a corrupt place full of soulless people. And then you get here, and you may have had a similar experience, but you meet the people who are willing to serve in Congress, and you realize that by and large, they are people who love this country and really want to serve their neighbors. And they come here because they want to fix things they think are broken. And it is inspiring.
Yeah, I kind of left, you know, having served more than 8 years in Congress, and I left thinking, you know, it's sort of a third, and it's not exact numbers, obviously, but will be interesting to see when you eventually at some point leave Congress, how you feel about it. But I felt like a third of them were there just because they had nothing else to do, and they've been there for a while, and they like the business card, but they aren't the hardest workers. And then you got a third of them that are there for the wrong reasons. They like the power, they're not driven by policy or principle. There are those people there. And then there was this other third of the group that I thought I was in the bucket of, and I think you are, which is, yeah, we're willing to work hard. We're willing to sacrifice. We want to do the right thing. We're willing to work, you know, roll up our shirt sleeves, so to speak, and get our fingernails dirty, put our hands in the dirt like you did, and actually get stuff done. That I felt like was something Chris Stewart wanted to do, you want to do, I wanted to do, Rob Bishop certainly wanted to do, and they were there for all the right reasons. And that is refreshing, because that keeps your battery juiced up.
Yeah, and one of the things I've noticed is that people like that, people like us, usually have an exit plan. They know they're here for a short time, and they know that someone else will serve when we're gone. And so you do what you can to make a difference in the time you're here, but you don't start to feel like it's yours. You don't start to feel like anybody owes you anything. You don't act like you should be able to get by without working hard. And so it's pretty easy to spot the kindred spirits around here, the people who have that look in their eye. One of my colleagues here said, when you don't stop and look at the Capitol Dome when you're walking up the street, it's time to go home. And I think there's a lot to that.
More Jason in the House next.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty-free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Italy accused of dressing up as his mom to collect her pension. The man, whose name hasn't been released by authorities, is the son of Graziella Dall'Olio, who had died in 2022 at the age of 82. Police say the 57-year-old man, who's a former nurse and currently unemployed, did not report her death to authorities. When Dall'Olio's ID expired, the son allegedly put on makeup, a wig, and her clothes to pose as his mother and renew her ID. However, the agent that was processing the application noticed dark hair on the back of his neck and on his chin and tipped off authorities to the alleged crime. Officers then went to the elderly woman's home address and found her mummified body in the laundry closet room wrapped in sleeping bags. The man is accused of concealing a corpse, fraud against the state, impersonation, and forgery of a public document. He's accused of removing fluids from his mother's body with a syringe to prevent decomposition. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Snook, who leads Peacock's All Her Fault, about a mother searching for her missing son and the mysterious circumstances which unfold from there. Snook spoke about how being a mom added to her perspective on the role.
Yeah, I was only able to draw on that for my own experiences. I've never lost her at all, but the imagination, the world building of that, what it would be like to have the worst thing happen.
Previously starring as Shiv Roy on Succession, she shared what she was looking for in projects following the hit series.
I've been really kind of conscious about putting Succession in a different box. Like, it's not a thing that can ever be topped or compared with, or that was such an amazing experience that was career changing.
And you're also an EP on this for the first time. So what is sort of a takeaway that you can bring to whatever project you do next?
When you're an EP on every project is a different way of inhabiting that role. For me, what was really important was setting a culture on set and to have a kind of everyone's welcome equality.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
I happen to be doing this recording in Washington, D.C. You're in Washington, D.C., even though we're in two different locations. I'm at the Fox News studios. You're at the, it sounds like probably in your office. And but my wife, Julie, and I are walking over, and we stopped and looked at the Capitol. We took a picture. It's like, you know, it's still awe-inspiring. And you're right, when you lose that feeling, you know. In my case, you know, I left. I left midterm, in part because I couldn't do my job. They wouldn't let me do what I was elected to do. And at that point, I just got so fed up with it. I just thought, you know, if Speaker Paul Ryan's going to tell me that we're not doing oversight and I'm the chairman of the oversight committee, then, hey, forget it. I'm out of here. So a lot of people don't understand that or misconstrue it or think there's something mysterious about it. But you know what? The reality is, if I can't do my job, I'm not going to do it, and not pretentious enough to think I'm the only one that can fill this role. No, there are other people. Time to pass the baton, and that's why I left. But that's another story.
Well, okay. Even George Washington decided to leave on his own terms and somebody else stepped up and served as president. And before that, I don't think most Americans could imagine anyone else other than George Washington being president of the United States. But time marches on. Our republic stands through time. And that's what's so beautiful about our system.
Yeah, it really is. It's the greatest system ever created, despite all of its flaws and everything. So, all right. So now that you're there, and if you could change one or two things, what would you want to change in Congress?
Ooh, that is a dangerous question. The first one I would change is that the ability, it's what you just described, the ability to make decisions tends to end up getting concentrated in leadership, in, you know, chairman, wherever, and the diffusing that power out through the conference is part of the secret sauce that makes our system work so beautifully. So yeah. I would change that, make sure that every member of Congress has real responsibilities, real things they're showing up for every day that matter to the American people and to their constituents, so that everybody here has a vested interest and some weight on their shoulders, so to speak. I think that's how Congress is intended to work. It was never intended to concentrate decision-making in the hands of a few. That's what the executive branch is for. Yeah. And I think the other change I would make is going to sound a little pie in the sky, maybe philosophical, but just pulling back the curtain more and making sure the American public understands what happens here. I know that was the intention with having C-SPAN show the House floor. I think that may not be the right way to do it because then we all end up performing for the cameras a lot. But I think most Americans have a really jaundiced view of Congress and government in general. And if they could be here and see how it works more, I think they would feel a lot more optimistic. It is slow. It is inefficient, but it's beautiful in its inefficiency. And it was designed to be that way. But the unfortunate part is that it happens here on the East Coast in a swampy little town that not everybody gets to spend time in. One of my favorite things about being a member of Congress is personally taking people on tours of the Capitol, especially if they've never been in the Capitol before, watching Americans connect with their own system of government for the first time in a really personal way, like seeing where we vote, seeing where things happen that they've only seen on TV. That buys you into the system, and our system works better when people are bought in.
Yeah. No, I think that is the beauty of the system, and I think you're absolutely right. You've had an amazing array of experiences and done great work for somebody who's been there such a short amount of time. You've accomplished a lot. Congratulations to you, because there comes a point where you think, gosh, maybe I should serve. Maybe I should raise your hand. And thanks for doing that and being willing to serve and showing that somebody from a very small town can come up and rise to the ranks and be a member of Congress. So Celeste Malloy, thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thanks so much to Celeste for joining us. Really do appreciate her time. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you can rate this podcast. And then, of course, you can subscribe to it. If you subscribe to it, it shows up in your box once a week. We don't bombard you with stuff. And I want to remind people, you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Again, thanks for listening to us. Thanks to Celeste. And hope you're having a great, wonderful holiday season and that you got a little joy in your heart this holiday. And again, have a look through the library. We got a lot of different podcasts out there. I've done a couple hundred of these. So, again, thanks to Celeste. And join us again next time. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. We are slowly learning more about a person of interest that police in Rhode Island have got a hold of after a shooting at Brown University yesterday. That tragedy killed 2 and wounded 9. The individual is a man, we are told, and in his 20s. Surveillance video shows someone dressed in black calmly walking away after shooting up the classroom during final exams. This past week, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem firmly defended the Trump administration's hardline policies on illegal immigration, border security, and drug enforcement.
We're removing illegal aliens who came in under the Biden administration. By the end of this year, 2.5 million illegal aliens will have left our country. That includes over 600,000 that were detained and deported, but 1.9 million virtually have left voluntarily.
In addition to testimony on the Hill, she also addressed remarks to the Homeland Security and Defense Forum's Border Security Symposium. Another U.S. state designates a pair of Muslim advocacy groups as foreign terrorist organizations.
They are the Council on American-Islamic Relations, known by the acronym CARE, and the Muslim Brotherhood, which received the classifications last Monday by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The order prevents state agencies from granting various benefits and contracts to the two groups and to those who provided them material support. Both organizations are crying foul. CARE has already filed a lawsuit in response. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a similar proclamation last month. Neither is designated as a foreign terrorist organization by the federal government, but a bill was introduced last summer that would direct the U.S. Secretary of State to review CARE's past contacts to see if their associations and actions meet that criteria. George Williams, Washington.
And more skirmishing between Cambodia and Thailand this morning. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
A jury in Los Angeles has awarded $40 million to two women who claim Johnson & Johnson's talcum powder caused their ovarian cancer. The company plans to appeal that verdict. This is part of an ongoing legal battle over the alleged link between talc and Johnson's baby powder and cancer. The company stopped selling talc-based powder globally in 2023. In October, another jury ordered the company to pay about $966 million in a similar case. An Arctic air blast swept south from Canada this weekend, spreading into the northern U.S. Thousands of people have been evacuated in the nation's heartland. Big cities like Chicago and Minneapolis face dangerous wind chills. Today, Grand Forks, North Dakota registered minus 36 degrees without the wind chill, which is substantial. The cold air mass is now pushing to the south and the east, warnings all the way down in some cases to Alabama. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Happy birthday, Dick Van Dyke.
Actor and comedian Dick Van Dyke is 100 years old.
I have no idea why I'm here, but I can't be more thrilled.
That was Van Dyke when he was honored by the Kennedy Center in 2021. From The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Starring Dick Van Dyke.
To Mary Poppins.
With the jolly all the night with Mary.
To playing a physician sleuth on the TV series Diagnosis Murder. Dick Van Dyke has been entertaining us for a long time.
I've been in the business 75 years. I can't believe it.
That was last year at the Television Academy. So it's 76 years now, Dick. I'm Donna Water.
Sticking with the birthday theme here, on this Sunday, December the 14th, these notable people are celebrating their birth. Tennis Hall of Famer Stan Smith, he's 79 years old today. Baseball Hall of Famer Craig Biggio is 60. Actress Vanessa Hudgens is 37. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Fair Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
On Monday, President Trump announced an $11 billion aid package for American farmers. The payments are expected to begin in late February 2026, prioritizing row crop farmers hit hardest by recent market disruptions, with remaining funds reserved for specialty crops and sugar. President Trump touting the program to reporters at a White House roundtable Monday.
This money would not be possible without tariffs. The tariffs are taking in, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, and we're giving some up to the farmers because they were mistreated by other countries for, I don't know, maybe right reasons, maybe wrong reasons. They weren't, they were trying to show us something, and it's really worked out really well. But because of the tariffs, this is possible.
Meanwhile, Congress remains without a plan to address the Obamacare subsidies expiring at the end of the year, less than a month before they're scheduled to go on recess. Many other things going on here in Washington, but let's start out with our panel. Host of the Big Ben Show, Ben Domenech, Democratic strategist Leslie Marshall, and Fox News Audio Washington-based correspondent Jared Halperin. Jared, is there any chance that the Obamacare subsidies deal comes together before the end of the year.
It doesn't sound like it because you still have competing plans. You have Senate Republicans who unveiled their Obamacare alternative, essentially setting up these federally backed health savings accounts. You have the Democratic plan, which Republican leadership has said will get a vote that would simply extend the current Obamacare subsidies for another 3 years. Even if either of those were to get 60 votes, which is not expected, Brett, the Speaker of the House hasn't pledged to put anything on the floor. So it's unclear if House Republicans are going to work on their own alternative and get a vote on that before the end of the year. So right now, while you do have a lot of conversations and a lot of plans and a lot of proposals, there is not a single proposal out there that seems to have the type of consensus that would be needed to get this to the president's desk, certainly by the end of the year.
Leslie, Democrats seem giddy about this a little bit in blaming Republicans for not having an extension. But the reason we are where we are is because of Democratic Congresses and administrations in the past that essentially set this system up and the subsidies expire. So everybody's struggling and trying to get to a deal to extend it in a way until you can fix it.
The problem here is we're looking at just one piece of a bigger problem when it comes to health care and health care costs. It's not just the Affordable Care Act and tax credit shifts and subsidies expiring. What we haven't addressed and what none of this addresses is one, medical service costs that rise. Two, new drugs and the more expensive drugs like GLPs that are on the market, and those flood the market, it just balloons costs all around. And since the pandemic, COVID, there has been more demand for preventative medicine and post-pandemic medicine for individuals that before were like, nah, I'm not going to go see the doctor. The problem with healthcare savings plan, and this is something I know very well being a part owner of a 26 orthopedic surgery medical group as my husband is one of the partners, and we've tried this as business owners ourselves. When you have a health savings account, very much like the Republicans want to do on a national level, it looks really good except for two problems. One, the money runs out, and two, it doesn't stop these insurance companies from inflating cost. And huge hospitals and huge medical organizations have been grappling with insurance companies doing this for years, and I don't see power in one little person being, you know, more so extended to that one individual and having more power than these huge companies do and have for decades in trying to battle the insurance companies that do just that.
Yeah. Ben?
Well, I think that the overall problem that we're talking about here is one that has plagued the Republicans for many years. There were numerous plans, alternatives to Obamacare that were proposed during my own time within the think tank space at the Manhattan Institute and others. We, you know, had plans that were put forward at that time that Republicans could have taken up at a point where they had the votes to pass them to solve these overall problems. They didn't do it. And now we're left with a situation where, you know, the Democrats own ownership of the health regimen that exists in America over the last, you know, decade and a half has led us to a point where you have to keep these subsidies flowing in order to buck up a system that is not designed in any real way. It's one that is unfortunately a complete cluster and one that I think is never going to get resolved unless there is an actual bipartisan agreement that can be put in place. And instead, what you end up with is these repeated band-aids over and over and over again that are simply designed to insulate people from the cost that the system actually entails. Now, look, it could be worse. You could have a system like Canada where they say, you know, if you have to wait 6 months for a surgery, have you considered killing yourself instead? So this is not the worst of all worlds. But I do think that it is a situation where the cost element of this has only gotten worse, is only going to continue to get worse as these consolidations continue within the industry and unfortunately create a circumstance that people cannot navigate.
And Jared, the president going out on a campaign-style stop in Pennsylvania, the White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, making a rare appearance in the media saying that she is going to help with the administration putting him out more and more and ahead of the midterms to try to put him on the ballot to energize Trump voters that maybe are not energized in midterm elections.
good idea?
It certainly shows that there is an expectation of what could come. And we have seen in previous midterm elections and off-year elections where President Trump was in office that his coalition really was attracting lower propensity voters. We talked about that a lot just last year, right? President Trump reaching out on these podcasts, reaching people who don't generally vote that came out to vote for him. Now the test is, will they vote for people who President Trump wants them to vote for when President Trump is not on the ballot? You already know where the enthusiasm is for Democrats. We've seen that in these off-year elections. We've seen that in previous midterm elections. I think that the challenge and the flip side to putting President Trump out there is Democrats certainly are going to want to tie every single candidate to President Trump. This certainly highlights that argument for them. And so we'll see, I guess, maybe how Republican candidates who have to run their own races in their own states kind of deal with this. Certainly some are going to run into the arms of President Trump. Others are going to have to find, I think, where to pick and choose their distance and separation from the president.
Yeah, because if you're putting him on the ballot, obviously, Leslie, in purple states or leaning bluish states, that affects independents and maybe conservative Democrats who have lost favor with this administration, at least right now.
You know what I think, Brett, is not just putting him out there. It's what he's saying when he's out there. And I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to quote Joe Manchin, and you can erase this from the tape later. But Joe Manchin said, you can't tell people it's sunny when it's pouring rain outside. And that is very true. And honestly, that's what, you know, the president, you know, has been doing, which is, you know, oh, the economy is great. Affordability is a hoax. It's a word Democrats came up with. People don't care about it. Well, the polls are real. And the reason they're putting Trump out there is, you know, Susie Wiles sees the polls. She can read the polls that my party is going to have a landslide in the midterms, at least in the House, if things don't change for Republicans in the messaging. And by the way, my party had this same problem, right? I mean, you know, Joe Biden didn't really know how and struggled to have a positive spin on the economy because it was raining outside in the perception of the voters. And Donald Trump has that problem as well. But the message has to be about the economy because that's what people care about. The message has to be about affordability. And you can't just keep blaming Joe Biden because people, even people who like Trump, are like, okay, you've been in office a year. He's not there anymore. What are you going to do about it? They don't want to hear about and see decorating. They want to hear a plan to make things more affordable because they're scared and things are not more affordable and they're most concerned about the poll show, regardless if you're an independent, a Democrat, a Republican across the board or your age. They care about the cost. You want to have more more empathy. I feel your pain rather than don't look at the rain. It is sunny. The economy's strong.
The new Harvard-Harris poll asked this question, Ben, what would you say are the most important issues facing the country today? And it was kind of open-ended. Respondents could name more than one. The top was 36%, price increases, inflation, and affordability. Number two, 29%, was the economy and jobs. So you put those together, you know, you've got a significant percentage there of people answering that poll, and it tracks with other polls. So, you know, for all the Venezuela and Iran and Middle East and China, all things that are very important in the big picture that affect a lot of things, clearly people are feeling they need to focus at home.
The thing that is, I think, particularly difficult for the president in this moment is that the assumptions built in by people who came into his coalition, an incredible coalition that he built in 2024, one that a lot of Republicans had tried to build in the past and done and not been unsuccessful at in terms of bringing in new voters, they expected his return to office to herald an economic boom, a return to the kind of form that they saw pre-COVID. And yet, I think that what they've discovered at the White House is that they are coming out of a much deeper hole than they thought at the time, and that people are seeing, you know, the effects of these different things hit them in different ways. You talked about the bailout for these farmers, for instance, and there's all sorts of down market effects of the fact that these farmers have seen basically three straight years of underperformance when it comes to the sale of soybeans overseas. And what does that mean? It means purchases of less farm equipment. It means the cost that they have to face when it comes to seeds and when it comes to fertilizer, you know, have continued to stay high. A lot of these problems are issues that the White House can't solve with just, you know, the wave of a magic wand. And I think, unfortunately, the Republicans have not figured out a way to talk about this at all. I believe that this Congress is headed for a truly historic sweep, something that could be, you know, on the level of ones that we've seen benefit Republicans in the past, particularly when it came to something like the Tea Party movement. But from the left, Democrat voters are activated. They are passionate. And even something like the recent race that played out in the special election where Van Epps was able to pull it out against Afton Bean in Tennessee, that's something that even though they were able to win, that was a plus 22 districts that went for single digits for the Republican. And that's an indication, I think, that a lot of these Democrats who are going to be running this time around are going to end up benefiting from this situation. And you're going to end up with a lot of people winning elections that they otherwise would have lost, and a lot of things coming into the map that otherwise would have been put off of it from the get-go, just presuming the purple or lean red measure of the district.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Dave Franco, Ariana Greenblatt, and Justice Smith of the magic-filled franchise continuation Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Dave, I want to start with you because I know you've been practicing the card-throwing skills.
Oh, yeah.
Have you showed it off, like, in real life anywhere? Do you have a fun story of being somewhere random and you're like, oh, look?
Isla and I were walking through this park in Budapest where we shot the newest movie, and from a distance we see this kid trying to throw cards, but he was very bad at it. And so I went up to him and he had no idea who I was, and I taught him how to throw cards, and by the time I walked away, he was whipping those across the park.
Ariana and Justice, you got to work with the team at the Magic Castle.
Learning basic magic, you kind of learn how most magic tricks are done, and it does kind of take the magic out of it. But you do have, you find a new appreciation for magic.
One of our amazing teachers, Handsome Jack, he would show me card tricks, and if I liked them enough, I would be like, please tell me how you did that.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Even though December is the month you might be spending more dough than usual for holiday gifts, the month also provides some great deals that include end-of-year sales at big-box retailers that feature price cuts on major appliances, both big and small. If you're looking for some beauty and fragrance items, many retailers sell discounted sets of makeup, perfume, hair, and skincare products. You can buy gifts for others and at the same time stock up on your favorite beauty and fragrance brands at discount prices. And if you want to treat yourself to a dinner out while doing your holiday shopping or need to pick up a last-minute gift, many restaurants and retailers offer deals on gift cards in December. After Christmas, you can find significant discounts on holiday-specific items and remaining seasonal inventory. While shopping, don't overlook opportunities to stack deals by combining store coupons, cashback offers, and clearance pricing to score some great savings. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Most experts and pundits thought President Harry Truman would be soundly defeated by Thomas Dewey. On November 2nd, 1948, Truman had a last laugh.
And Mr. Kelton Barnes and Mr. Hackness were reporting the situation as it then developed. And Mr. Kelton Barnes was saying, well, the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote. Mr. Truman will be defeated. And to the sorrow of myself and those of who were listening with me, and I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News Chief Political Anchor Bret Baier.
Fox News Chief Congressional Correspondent Chad Pergram joins the conversation. Chad, you heard Ben there. There is, you know, a sense of doom among Republicans, and you can just see that in the retirements or resignations that we've already seen. But there's a long way to go before you get to the midterms of 26. And there's a lot of, interpreting how the economy feels for Americans by the time you get to November.
Well, this is why Democrats have obviously seized on this affordability issue and certainly what the president said about it being a hoax. You hear this from Democrats every day. In fact, you had Senator Alsobrooks from Maryland saying that the president was trying to execute what she called a Jedi mind trick, that the economy was different than what people were feeling and seeing. You have some Republicans who are starting to get fearful of their reelections because they don't like how the economy might be playing in their states or district. I talked to John Husted, who is the appointed Republican senator from Ohio. He's not been elected, so he will stand for election, presuming he gets through the primary. And he says, you know, this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with people in Ohio and across America who need to be able to afford access to health care. And this is why Republicans have been kind of scrambling a little bit and been very concerned about at least putting up maybe the veneer that they're addressing health care and trying to bring down costs. Republicans know if there's not a viable solution, that's the key part, a viable solution, that they're going to get hit by this, in the polls and at the ballot box next year if they don't address affordability. It's why the Speaker of the House just started talks with Jason Smith, the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, about trying to work out some sort of another health care plan that he says might take through the spring. But they're concerned about that, and Democrats know that politically they think they can drive this home. And if they don't work out something on health care before the end of the year and these prices shoot up, the government probably shuts back down at the end of January because Democrats, they've run that play before, and they'll probably run it again, especially now.
Yeah. So, Leslie, the question is, you know, there's a lot of forecasting of what Q1, Q2 looks like in 2026. The Treasury Secretary talks very optimistically about what they're going to look at from growth. Already we are seeing wages rise faster than prices. Wage income is up 5.3%. The core personal consumption is at 2.7. That's the Fed's inflation measure. So there are some sprouts, some green shoots out there that suggest that the early 26 could turn around, like they say. It may not, but that's what they're praying for on the Republican side. And Democrats, what is the MO? It is just keep on hitting the affordability, even if that turns early 26.
Well, yeah, and by the way, Republicans did that, and they were very successful. I mean, they took the House, the Senate, and the White House, the Oval Office, in the last election and the general election. And in my party, you know, again, you know, it wasn't redecorating, but they weren't focusing on what the voters wanted across the board. And the voters want across the board an affordable lifestyle. So one of the things, Brett, is, and we know this, and we saw this during the last administration. Everybody likes to demonize Joe Biden. But the reality is when you look at the numbers and when you have nonpartisan economic specialists that spoke, you know, there was a very strong economy there at the end. But Americans didn't feel it. And I think that's what's going to come into play. You know, when people say, well, a year, that's a long time, not so much. I mean, you know, you have policy, you know, you have grandstanding, you have policy, then you have to pass the policy. And then you have to get Americans to, you know, buy into it, but they also have to feel the benefit of those policies. And I just don't think that's going to come in time. So I don't think that my party needs to change messaging, because my party has been saying, I feel your pain, and they have been on point with the issues that the voters care about.
Yeah. Jared, last word here is, you know, the Jasmine Crocketts of the world have announced a Senate race in Texas. There is still this split in the Democratic Party, and it's real, but they seem to be singing from the same sheet of music.
Again, it's going to be, I think, less about I think everybody's on board with affordability and bringing down costs. The messaging is going to be different. Maybe the policy prescriptions are going to be different. But you look at the success that Democrats have had, at least in these small measurements that we have in special elections and off-year elections, progressive candidates overperformed, more moderate Democrats overperformed. And so the prescription's there. I just think you're going to see, and it kind of gets back to what we said with Republicans running alongside President Trump. You have to run your own race in your own district, in your own state, and see if you can find the message that works best for the constituents in that contest.
All right, panel. Thanks so much. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Ben, Leslie, Chad, and Jared, I'm Brett Baer.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1987. Jim and Tammy Baker.
We can't say we've learned a good lesson. We've learned a lesson. Yeah. I hate that it took this many years to learn it. I'm getting a little old for starting over again.
I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. I believe I would have been a successful candidate. And I know I could have been a very good president, but apparently now we'll never know.
I realize there's a lot of folks around that think there's a loose cannon on the Gundeck estate at the NSC. People used to walk up to me and tell me what a great job I was doing.
In Robert Bork's America, there is no room at the inn for blacks and no place in the Constitution for women. And in our America, there should be no seat on the Supreme Court for Robert Bork.
She's crying and humming and sometimes singing. She goes to sleep at periods of time.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hand.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1971. Charles Manson.
It came about by not having a family. By being born without a father. I'm on the wrong side of the law the minute I was born. And I stand strong inside of it.
The district attorney's office and I personally and the Los Angeles Police Department are all exceedingly happy with this verdict. We expected the verdict, but until that clerk reads the verdict, you never know.
I think the public's reaction has been, we did need to know this information. We had a right to know it.
Jim was buried in a simple ceremony with only a few friends present because those of us who knew him intimately wanted to avoid all the notoriety and circus-like atmosphere that surrounded the deaths of such other rock personalities.
I'd just like to say before we start off with the concert that to thank you all for coming here.
Peace out, peace out.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An anonymous donor who helped out a World War II veteran in Canada makes today's Dean's List. Bill Shea is a 100-year-old World War II veteran from Harrow, Ontario, and was recently celebrated with cheers and smiles by Legion members as Mr. Shea's ambulance pulled up to Harrow Legion Branch 338. A few weeks prior, Mr. Shea's family were worried about his health after he got sick and was hospitalized for pneumonia and kidney issues. His specialized care required a medical flight that cost close to $60,000 and unfortunately was not covered by the VA. After seeing the story on the news, an anonymous donor paid the bill for the entire flight. After recovering in hospital for a month, Mr. Shea, who is one of the area's last World War II veterans, had a hero's welcome. Branch 338 president said in a statement, "To the person who donated the money, you're an angel." Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
In the short run, it looks like the American consumer is doing fine. Jobs are weakening, but just a little bit. Inflation is there and maybe not going down.
Costs are not down. They're going up. The president has even said affordability is a scam. What kind of bubble does he live in?
Maximizing domestic farm production is a big part of how we will make America affordable again and bring down grocery prices for American families.
Well, Farm Aid is kicking in. Politico writes it this way. White House announces $12 billion farmer bailout package. Administration officials prepared to draw the $12 billion in bailout funds from USDA's emergency fund months ago, even though President Trump had pledged to tap tariff revenue for farmers. Up to $11 billion of the package will be allocated to producers of major row crops like corn, soybeans, wheat, rice, and cotton. The White House officials said the remaining money will be reserved for the growers of fruits, vegetables, and other so-called specialty crops. Here's the Agriculture Secretary.
The money will move by February 28th of 2026, but by the end of this month, so just in the next couple of weeks, every farmer that is able to apply for it will know exactly what that number looks like. So as you are going to your lender, as you are working to ensure and understanding what you can plant for next year, you will have that number in hand.
Let's start there with our panel, Guy Benson. He's a Fox News political analyst. Congratulations. Josh Krashauer is a Fox News radio political analyst. And Yemen C.A. Begwali, former chief of staff and advisor to the Biden White House press office. Oh, I get it. Now it's a new title. Ah.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right. What do you make of this?
Some analysis.
Yeah.
So I think, first of all, big picture, we heard much better affordability messaging from the president, because we heard in the soundbite of Senator Schumer when Trump had called it a hoax or a scam and that sort of thing, I sort of knew what he was getting at. But to the average American, certainly if that gets clipped into a political ad next year, it's not the type of message that people who are struggling want to hear. And it almost feels like they're going down this path, this trap that Biden fell into, where they wouldn't tell people or deny how people were actually feeling in their own lives. The question is, can they actually end up with results that hit home with people in their pocketbooks, like, say, 6-8 months from now? That's the big question, although there seem to be some green shoots out there in terms of the economy, White House telling that story. Whether that seeps into the overall consciousness late next year, I think, will be crucial.
Yeah, and Yemisi, we'll see what the Federal Reserve says. They'll come up with a decision on interest rates. But to hear those farmers in the cabinet room, this provides them some certainty as they head into the new year.
Yes, but I think farmers need a long-term economic strategy and not just aid. Look, I think the president put farmers in a tight spot when it came to soybeans in China, but he's also done other things to give some economic relief. NVIDIA's announcement that the president approved them selling H200 Blackwell chips. Well, agriculture and AI are closely tied. They use them for drought management and for crop rotation. And so I think the president had some missteps when it came to the economy concerning farmers, but there is going to be some great growth for them when it comes to what AI can do and moving forward in technology.
And that's what this administration is talking about, Josh, is growth. They're looking at Q1, Q2, 26 and saying this could be a boom time.
Look, the big picture on the economy, there are a lot of encouraging signs. The stock market, there has been growth. There is a sense of optimism among a lot of Americans. But among specific Americans, namely the farmers and the agriculture industry, there's a lot of pain. And there's a lot of concerns about affordability. So the politics of this are very tough for the White House because, look, there's an Iowa Senate race that's going to be quite interesting. It's maybe more competitive than it should be. That's a race that the White House is paying close attention to. There are a lot of voters as part of the Republican base that are worried about the economy. And as Guy was saying, you got to feel their pain. You've got to show the $12 billion may go a long way in helping assuage some of the concerns. But there is a need for a longer-term strategy and a worry about the tariffs and the impact economically they're going to have in the long haul.
And we may see that starting in Pennsylvania as this affordability push for the president messaging-wise starts. Let's turn to the Supreme Court. Reuters, Supreme Court conservatives poised to back Trump in FTC firing case. Conservative justices appeared sympathetic to the administration's arguments that 10-year protections given by Congress to the heads of independent agencies unlawfully encroached on presidential power. Liberal justices said the position taken by the administration in the case would lead to massive increase in presidential power. Here's some of your oral arguments.
I don't understand why it is that the thought that the president gets to control everything can outweigh Congress's clear authority and duty to protect the people in this way.
We have a situation where Congress could erect, reconstruct virtually the entire executive branch outside the president's control. And that is not even a Republican form of government. But that is the logic of the position that's being advanced here.
That's the Solicitor General answering that. I always love listening to the oral arguments. It gives you like a sense of some of that questioning. This deals with the FTC. It doesn't deal with the Federal Reserve, which is another case that comes up in January. But it is a message about executive power and how far that goes.
Absolutely. And some of the readers of the tea leaves, legally speaking, said that it appeared that the Supreme Court, the majority, the conservative majority, looks poised to perhaps hand Trump a win on this one. And it kind of comes down to the crux of, is this an authority matter for the president, or is this protecting people? So, in other words, is there someone who needs independence that is currently under the current situation being protected from overreach from the government? That would be the more liberal approach to this, and we heard some of that from Justice Jackson. The other side of it, as articulated by Justice Kavanaugh and others, is, well, doesn't the president preside over the executive branch? And if you have a bunch of these unaccountable people, who would ever visit some sort of accountability on them if they were rogue or something like that? And at least according to the legal eagles, it sounds like Trump might get a victory on this one. Not so sure about the biggest one I think he's watching, which is the tariffs case.
Yeah, the tariffs case is the biggest, and it could have a major impact, Yemisi, on how this administration operates. And they've used tariffs so much in negotiating with foreign countries.
Right, and independent agencies are insulated from political pressure, and it seems that the president has oftentimes married his opinion of certain people that sit at those agencies with a lot of our policy. And I think Democrats are watching because what the president does now and what the Supreme Court decides, a conservative-leaning Supreme Court, is going to set the precedent for what a president, a Democratic president, may be able to do with tariffs or with any independent agency moving forward. And that runs a big risk.
We talk about the balance of power. We often point to the House and how slim the majority is, but if you look at the balance of the power in the U.S. Senate, it is, there you see it, 53-47. And there is an interesting race that's forming in Texas. And Jasmine Crockett, from Congresswoman from Texas, announcing that she's going to run for U.S. Senate. Take a listen.
At a time when Donald Trump is daily putting at risk all of the things that we care most about, daily violating the Constitution, that we can't afford to go into this election divided.
We used to telling us what I can't do, but they have no idea what Crockett's crew will do. And so I just want to be clear for all the haters in the back. Listen up real loud. We gonna get this thing done.
First was Colin Allred, who said he was pushed out by Jasmine Crockett as far as running for the U.S. Senate in Texas. This is the John Cornyn seat currently, Josh. Seems, at least right now, a long shot for Democrats to pick that up, but it's early.
It's a tough race, but look, it also says a lot about the evolution of the Democratic Party. Colin Allred used to represent a swing district, had to win moderates. He's very popular. He has a record of winning tough races. Jasmine Crockett, has represented a deep blue district. She's never had to win a Republican voter in her life, and Democrats are freaking out that she could be the nominee and at least cost Democrats a chance of even putting that seat in play. Texas is very Republican, but she's going to make it easier for Republicans.
She'll get a lot of attention.
And a lot of money. Right, her announcement video was just her sitting there in silence, which is rare for her, just listening to insults and taunts from President Trump. I think she will raise a boatload of money. We'll see if this other guy in the race, James Tallarico, who's actually quite left as well, said God is non-binary, how he deals with her arrival in the race. But I do feel like it would be a self-destructive act for the Democrats to nominate her for the U.S. Senate statewide in Texas. We'll see how that goes for them.
Yeah, what's your last word?
I don't believe that likes and retweets translate into votes, so she's going to have an uphill battle here as a Democrat going statewide in Texas.
All right. Well, truth from the panel. Thank you.
More of the Bret Baier Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings. Tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Teresa Giudice.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill Whelan.
Hey, everybody. It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Polizzi.
It's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone. It's Henry Golding.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
I'm Ted Lange, and it's time to take
the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
I can make a case for either side. I mean, I could make that case. It's a close call. A very large number of participants agree that risks are to the upside for unemployment and to the upside for inflation.
The head of the Federal Reserve is a stiff. He did a rather small number that could have been doubled, at least doubled.
Obviously, the president wanted more, as you could hear in that soundbite, but the Federal Reserve did bring down the key interest rate. And if you look at the chart, you can see where it's been and where it is. The Federal Reserve cutting the benchmark federal funds rate by 25 basis points. It was expected. It's the third cut this year, the sixth since the central bank began its easing cycle in September of 24. And there were three members that dissented. Two of them wanted no decrease, and one wanted more, a half-point cut. Let's start there with the panel. Annie Linsky, White House reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Democratic strategist Megan Hayes and Byron York, Fox News contributor. The president's obviously getting ready to make his own appointment and nomination for the Federal Reserve pretty soon, we expect, maybe after the first of the year. But this does indicate that they are doing this balancing act, Byron, about where the rate should be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was disagreement inside the Fed, which usually doesn't happen. Jerome Powell has usually gotten everybody to agree on it, but this time they didn't, as you pointed out. And, Trump has been yelling about Powell for a long time. He's a stiff. But this now that you see this kind of White House catch-up effort on affordability, going out, making a big deal of it, making pledging to be out there campaigning all the way through next November for it. The president's complaints, I think, are more intense now and maybe having a greater effect.
Annie?
Yeah. Well, look, I think when you look a little bit below the top line action that the Fed took and think about what was driving that, there are some signs that a lot of economists that I talk to are troubled by, and that is both a softening labor market along with persistent inflation. And that's going to put the Fed in a rather difficult place as they're using kind of their one major tool and having to pick which of those two missions to focus on. And so I think that's where you saw some of the split that Byron was referring to. And you even heard, you know, Jerome Powell talk about that himself, where he's saying, on one hand, you have this one issue, and on the other, you have another issue. One president famously said he wanted a one-handed economist who would just say on one hand and not have the other one.
That was a big John McCain line, too.
Yes.
Here's the president at that rally talking about the affordability issue.
I can't say affordability hoax because I agree the prices were too high, so I can't call it a hoax because they'll misconstrue that. But they use the word affordability, and that's their only word. They say affordability, and everyone says, oh, that must mean Trump has high prices. No, our prices are coming down tremendously.
So this is the pitch she's making, Megan. And, you know, if you look at the inflation chart, we put it up again and again, you see the big spike in the Biden years. That's the pitch that they want to focus on, even as prices maybe don't go as down as fast as they want them to.
Right. The problem is that prices aren't going down at all. And voters now are making...
Energy's going down.
Okay. And natural gas prices are going up. But the problem here is the voters are deciding here that they don't like what Donald Trump is selling. They don't like his economic policies. The Democrats have flipped 25 legislative seats with moderates and progressives all over the country. They've outperformed 220 out of 248 times since the election in 2024. That, to me, tells me that Democrats are making choices. Republicans and independents are also veering away from Donald Trump's failed economic policy. So it's high time he catch up to where the parties are.
Yeah, and it's not wrong. In fact, down in Miami,
yep.
The mayor's race there, a Democrat winning for the first time in 30 years, the first woman to be the mayor of Miami. Here is the president on that loss and recent losses, to your point.
When you win the presidency, you seem to lose the midterms. Even if you win the presidency by a lot and you do a great job as president. You know, some presidents have done good and they've lost, I think it's like two times in the last many, many years it's been one.
Yeah, he's acknowledging it, Byron.
Yeah. The problem that we're seeing now, we saw it a lot during the Biden times when inflation was going down. Inflation can be going down and prices are still going up. People are realizing that. They're going up at a much lower rate than they did, under 9.1% with Joe Biden, but they are still going up. And it seems to me one thing Trump needs to talk about is rising wages, because the only way out of this thing is for wages to get high enough and to meet a lower inflation rate. And if you look at the big sign in back of him in Pennsylvania, it said, lower prices, bigger paychecks. I think that's their message.
Let's talk about Venezuela for a second. This is the president coming out at the beginning of this news with gathering with reporters at the White House saying, we seized a tanker. Take a listen.
We've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, large tanker, very large. Largest one ever seized, actually. It was seized for a very good reason.
Yeah, and what the reason was, Andy, is that that tanker, that vessel, had been sanctioned for transporting Iranian oil, and that's why they took it down. It wasn't explained in all that press back and forth. But this is an action that it seems like increasing pressure on Venezuela and Maduro, and this may move the needle even more.
Oh, it absolutely is ratcheting up the pressure on Maduro, and that is the underlying result of this extraordinary action. You know, the timing is no coincidence. You saw that Nobel laureate, the woman who has stood up so strongly to Maduro, left the country, and that gave the United States a little bit room to do this. But this is a moment where the United States government is getting stronger and stronger on Venezuela, but has not really made a case yet to the American people about exactly why these types of things are happening.
Megan?
Yeah, there's been no briefing to Congress. There's been no strategy put forward. And I would just ask the question, if you can see the tanker, why can't we see these drug boats to see what's actually on them and prosecute the people who are shipping the drugs? And then also, they release the tape within an hour, and you can't release the tape for the double strike. So the juxtaposition here for the two incidents is really glaring, and I think Congress is noticing that.
Byron?
Well, it does appear that the administration went through the whole process on this, that Kash Patel put out a tweet saying we got a search warrant to do this, all of these other...
federal judge who did the initial.
Yes, they did
action.
That. So yeah. They really did pursue due process in this. But this is the way, if you want to put pressure on Maduro, I mean, this is the way to do it. If you're killing the drug dealers and then you're cutting off sanctioned oil and not allowing them to use these ghost tankers to get oil out of Venezuela to China or somewhere, that will do big damage.
The question is, in the Venezuelans, they're saying this is blatant theft of this oil tanker. What does this mean for Maduro as all of this military power is there? This pressure is obviously on him. But what do you think the administration thinks is the end game here?
Yeah, look, I think to Byron's point, I mean, this is sort of opening up another front on this pressure campaign against Maduro and really hitting him in his pocketbook. So you have this sort of military threat, but also cutting off this sort of oil pathway of funds is going to make it even more difficult for him to hold on to power. And that is absolutely what the administration, in my sense, is what they're trying to do.
All right, then. Thanks so much.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional...
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.